Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I don't know what something like that does for each one of you, but I know what it does for me. When I was a kid, elementary school, it was our, I went to a small little school here in Amato, but every morning we were given a flag and we would take it outside, put it on the flagpole, raise it up. At the end of the day, we would bring it back down, never let it touch the ground. We folded it, just as he said. And we were taught the meaning of this flag. And with all the things that are wrong in our country, there's still a lot of better things, good things that are right. And yet, like I said, for us, it was taught. I don't know if it happens anymore that kids in our school are taught the importance of what that flag stands for. We never let it touch the ground. Now, as it said, they throw it. They step on it. They burn it. They take a knee in protest instead of a knee in thankfulness for what God's done, what God's given us. And so, just all that to say is that we should be grateful and thankful of what we have in this country and stop focusing on the negative things that are, there's things that are wrong, there's no doubt. But be thankful that God is in charge and that most important thing that we have is that we are still one nation under God. The hand of God is on this nation. And regardless of how nasty or ugly it looks out there, we know the outcome, don't we? So what I'd like to do next is have you all stand, and I'd like to say the Pledge of Allegiance, if you would join me. Oh. Baby. You got it? Okay. And as a kid, you probably, all of you have learned, and you don't need this, but just for some of you that might have forgotten, we've decided to put it up there. And to know that when we say these words, I mean, it's not just something to put off on a shelf. Just as we are God's children and just as we believe the Word, got to remember that the words that come forth from our mouth are important. And when you pledge this allegiance to our flag, which is a symbol of our country, you can't answer for anybody else, but you can answer for yourselves. And you can stand for what this country and the values that it was created for, that it was established in. So please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You can be seated for a little while. You got it? Yeah, almost like, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. It sounded that way, didn't it? Hey, that all comes together, right? Amen. This country was established with godly values, and we will stand for those values. So the next thing that I'd like to do, as we do every first Sunday of the month, is communion, which has even a little more value than what we just spoke about. But every first Sunday, we take corporate communion. And so on other Sundays, as you all know, we have our tray that is in the back for your families, for individuals. And so every Sunday, you have availability to communion. And so just know that when we come together like this, this is important. This is not just something we do. These two things are, the two elements are symbols of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. But it's actually our communion with Him that's important. I want to read, while they're passing out the elements, I want to read something out of Matthew, just a short version. This is Matthew 26, starting with verse 26. And this is during the Last Supper when Jesus is actually with the disciples. We have another place where Paul talks about the communion. But this one is Jesus. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And then he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the wine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And this is the part that I wanted to bring out. We've all heard what I just read. But sometimes we forget this last verse, and it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So they did communion. Thank you. They took communion. They took the elements. But then right after that, they sang a song. They worshiped. They praised God. And then it says they went to the Mount of Olives. Well, that was known for that place that Jesus liked to go when he liked to just get together with his daddy. Mount of Olives was a place that it was just him and the Father, and he taught his disciples to do the same thing. And so as we take communion today, we will right afterwards go into worship and know that those things that we have taken within our bodies and the meaning that it has, forgiveness of our sins, a broken body, that those are things that we should be so thankful for. Let your hearts rise up and be thankful to what Christ did on that cross. And as it says that they went to the Mount of Olives, well, let your prayers flow from you also. Okay. So as I said, if you would please stand with me. And as the word that I just read says, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for each one of us. Please take the bread. It says that in the same way he took that cup, which represented the blood that he would shed on that cross. Please take the cup. And since you're already standing, if you would just stay standing for the first song. Hold on.
Say something else. Say something. She's on her way back.
Okay. As the servants will be picking up your cups for a while, you know, we will get started in just a moment. So, 4th of July, praising God. What more could you ask for this weekend, right? You're in this great country, and we serve a great God. So let's just all get together and show it with our praise and worship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
See something here just for a minute. I appreciate how many of you felt when you were saying the Pledge of Allegiance in the house of God. How many felt something? I mean, can I just say that the Word of God tells us to pray for those that are in authority over us. Is that right? Authority. And that flag represents authority and one nation for which it stands. Is that right? Amen. And I do not like seeing our nation in not being united. I don't like seeing it. But I know that we're in times that we're going to see things that we haven't seen before. And you guys know everything about it. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of things going on. But I do believe in praying. Nevertheless, no matter who they are, praying for those that are in authority over us. How many say amen? That's just what he says. Doesn't say to talk about them. Is that right? Doesn't say to put them down. Tell all your friends everything they're doing wrong. It says to pray for them. And so we are blessed to be in this country. And things can change quickly, folks. We know that. And we're not to live in fear, but we are to live in trust and faith in the God that God is here to display the kingdom in this earth. How do you say amen to that?
Amen. Amen.
So I just wanted to say that. Maybe it was last year. I'm not sure. It's been a long time since I said the Pledge of Allegiance. And I grew up too. Every day in school, you said it every day. It was something. And man, wanted us standing straight, and they wanted our, So it felt good this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. Amen.
How many of you know this morning that you have a God that's fighting all the battles for you? That He loves you. This is where true freedom is knowing a God who delivers you from every bondage, every shackle, everything that comes into your life, because He fights your battles for you. All you need to do is go to Him. That's where freedom is, because He lightens the load for you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is it so much better? Isn't life with God much better? Hallelujah. Praise God. I've got to say myself, I want to jump. It's hard to jump with that guitar back there when I'm trying to look at my papers. Amen. Ooh, but let me tell you something. I can sense the Holy Spirit just speaking this morning. Folks, He keeps on giving you life. The words that He speaks to you, Jesus said, He goes, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit. And they are, what, brother? Life. He keeps on giving you life. He wants to give you life and life more abundant. How many say amen to that? How many of you like life? It's nice. How many of you want abundant life? God is talking about an abundance that you haven't even imagined. It's further than what you can even think. Amen? Hallelujah. So get ready. Amen? Get ready for life. Every time I turn off my TV, this big thing says LG comes on and means life is good. Is that right? How many of you say amen? Life is good. The Word of God says it this way, whether we want to realize it or not, but this says that the earth is filled with the goodness of God. Can you say amen to that? It's just full. So if it's full of the goodness of God, why are you looking at all the bad things? Amen? Get your mind off them bad things and start looking at the good things that are around you. How many say amen to that?
Yeah.
Amen? There might be a guy that ran you off the road just for a minute there, but there's another guy that's right along with you, shaking his head, saying, man, I saw that. Man, it's not, you're good. You're good. How many say amen to that? Look for them good things. Amen? Yeah. Don't just concentrate on that driver there.
What's wrong with you?
Life is good. Life is good. How many say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have a way of tainting things. How many say amen? Amen. I'll tell you what. God tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. To always rejoice. Can you do that? Yes. Can you always rejoice? Well, what if things are going bad? Can you still rejoice? Yes. Boy, yes. Brother and sister, that's the time to rejoice. That is a time to say, thank God he knows exactly what's going on in my life. Let me say amen to that. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you got a place you can just place all those cares? Say, God, you told me to let you bring all my burdens to you. Here you go, God, the whole bunch. I mean, say amen. God, whatever he has for you, don't let those things that are contrary to him get in your way. How many say that? Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Today I get a break. I don't have to speak today, which I'm already taking up too much time, I think. Amen. Pastor John's going, yeah, get off. Yeah, get off, man. And my daughter, wherever she's going, she's going to be speaking to you this morning. Hey, I could take that back. But Rebecca's going to bring a word to us. What does your bulletin say? Impossible until done. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, man. Feels like it's impossible till it's done. Amen. Praise God. I was on my roof 3 weeks and almost in a row. Two weeks and 3 days maybe. Scraping all the old stuff off. I got this white roof that cracked all over. So it took me a while to scrape it all off. And it seemed like when I started, it's impossible. But you go at it, you go little by little, little by little. It's impossible till it's done. Amen. Now it's done. Praise God. And it didn't rain. Yeah, I thought it was going to rain. Here, I'm gonna give that back to you, man. But have a great week. I know you got a day off in the middle of the week. Amen. Is that right? How many got a day off in the middle of the week? Just one, two. Okay. Praise God. Some of us, we're living in a day off. How many say amen? Isn't that right? Tommy, you got a day off this week? Maybe. You're on a vacation, aren't you? No. No. Hey, well, enjoy the time that you have off, man. I would say, but like coming out of this church all the time is, hey, go after God. Spend some time out. You know, you got a day off. Spend some time with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right. I'm going to let Rebecca speak to you. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Hello, everybody. Yeah. So like he mentioned, the title of my sermon for today is Impossible Until It's Done. And I really think that I know, but this is something that God's really even been talking to me about so much in just everything I do. Here, my business, like everything, it's just been this constant, like, I know God is wanting the church to really understand and step up to the next level of what he's trying to do in all of our lives, not just one person's life, but everybody. You know, he really does have a desire to take us further all of the time. And a lot of that comes through reading the word, going after him, seeing what he has for us, right? And as we go after him, the Holy Spirit does. It just begins to reveal things in our lives and it begins to show us things that maybe we didn't see before. But it's so important that we put those things to work in our life. And I know that this is something that I feel like I was even like, yeah, I'm doing that, you know? I know what your word says on this and I'm doing it. But, you know, even in, I would say even the last like several months, God's just beginning to show me like, oh, but there's more, you know? And that's the thing is I think the church is so used to saying, you know, yes, I believe that all things are possible. Yes, I believe that, you know, I can move mountains. Yes, I believe that I can do these things. But when things come up in our lives, do you still stand on those same things? Or do you allow the circumstance that's in front of you begin to pivot you in a different direction because you feel like, I got to solve this, or I got to fix this, or I got to do this? And so I want to go into Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to go to verse 14. And it says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. When I read this, I kind of read it with like, oh, God was angry. Like, because just the way it says, like, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. But it really stuck in my head, like that portion, because I was like, oh, like, you know, that was kind of mean because the disciples tried, Judine. But then God really began to speak to me about this verse. And it started with, if we look at what the meaning of perverse is, the meaning actually means contrary to the accepted or expected standard. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, he was concerned with, when are you going to meet this standard? Like, I've given you this power. I've given you what you need. I've given you everything. At this point, right, the disciples had seen these things happen. So it wasn't just that he like girded them with words and everything, but they were seeing what was happening. And I really believe that what God showed me in this is that it was more of a, it's like that when your child, you've taught them things like 4, 5 different times, and you're still having to show them again because they're just not quite getting it, is really right here what I feel. That it wasn't that he was angry, it was frustration in that I've given this to you and you can do it. It didn't have to be him. It didn't have to be that Jesus was the only one who could do it and the disciples were just there. He was showing them the power that they had. He was showing them, this is what you've been created to do. This is who you are. And we so often forget because we are used to living in a world with limitations, right? Where people tell us like, you can't do this, or that is not possible. Well, science says, you know, all of these things that we put these limitations on ourselves and our life, where we think, well, I guess, you know, I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know that you can do it. I don't know that. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to understand that it's already been given to us. The promises have been given to us. The tools have been given to us. The things that we need have all been given to us already. And all we got to do is stand on it. We got to know, okay, when trials come against me, when things happen, I already know that your word says. And know what his word says. Know what the promises are. This is why it's important to spend time with the Father. That communion is so important for this reason. Because as you seek after him, he will give you things that you need. Because he knows what's already coming, right? He knows what you're needing to learn ahead of time for the battle. He really does. And he will prep you and he will get you ready so that when things come up in your life, you already got it all. He's already given you victory. It's why we're meant to let him fight our battles for us. Is because it's not always going to make sense and it's not always going to be the logical way, but we got to learn to listen to what he's saying. So in the title I got, Nelson Mandela actually said, everything seems impossible until it's done. And I saw that and I was like, oh man, that right there. When you look at it from the perspective of the kingdom, because what you see as impossible, he knows is possible. What you see as, I don't know how it'll work out, he knows exactly how it's going to work out. What you see as there is no way around it, I'm surrounded on every side, he sees exactly the way through it. And that's why it's important for us to go to him for those things. Let's go to, I just want to go to Hebrews 11 real quick. And, well, I say real quick, but the truth is I actually want to go through quite a bit of this, so. Okay. And this, because I can sit here and I can list you all kinds of ways that people believed and trusted in God, but this is just the best chapter for it because it kind of summarizes all of it. And I love this chapter. So it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I'm going to stop for a second because this right here is just a small account because the Bible is full of them, but it's just a small account of some of the people who stood on promises that God gave them and saw what God had for them. And though this is just a summary, this happened over time, right? And there's so often that we think, God, you got to fix it right now. Like you said that this was going to happen and that this is where what you were going to do for me. So where is it? Why isn't it happening? And so often when we get into that thought process, there's a lot of times where we then start to think, well, maybe if I did this, or maybe if I just helped you a little bit, God. And that's not what we're meant to do. God knows exactly what he's doing in your life. Even when he has you waiting and exercising that patience in faith, he is building you and doing things in your life to give you more. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if it's your super low, low or your super high, high. He knows exactly what he's doing in that moment. It's never a mystery. He's never unsure. He knows exactly, which is why it's important that we start realizing that we have to go to him for an answer. We got to go to him for a path, a way for what we're supposed to do, because he already knows. But when we choose to say, okay, I'm taking it in my own hands, you're just prolonging what he's trying to give you. You really are, because he's going to keep working on you because he's a loving God. He wants you to learn. He wants to give you things that you need in your life for life more abundantly. He desires for you to be growing. He desires for you to receive the mysteries of the kingdom. He desires for you to have all the things that, all the desires of your heart. But he wants you to look at him for the direction, because he'll give them to you. That's not what you should be worried about. But you gotta know, which way am I meant to go? What are you trying to do in my life? What are you trying to show me? What are you giving me that I'm not seeing? Because there's gonna be things that you don't see that he knows very well. Whew. It's so quiet. But it's just, God's got so much for us that we often just almost walk away from it. And not necessarily on purpose, not because we have any kind of malicious intent toward God or, oh, I don't want to do it. But a lot of times just because of a lack of faith and patience in the waiting. One of my favorite things right now is that saying, God is working in the waiting. Because we don't always see it, but he is definitely working. He's definitely moving the pieces around for you. He's definitely setting you up for success and victory, because his word tells us that you are more than a conqueror. So he's not setting you up for anything less, because he's not a liar. That is what you have in him. You have an inheritance. You are royalty in a kingdom which gives you all access to all of the things you need. Let's go to James chapter 2. And it's going to be verse 17. It says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, a foolish man, that faith without works is dead? That faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See, I think this is a really big point that God's really wanting the church to understand. We can know all the scriptures. We can read the Bible over and over and have down all of the words. But he wants us to do what he's telling us to do. The works is such an important part of just everything. Because we can walk around and you know, this is a place where the church has really kind of put themselves in a bad place, because we've gotten really good at knowing scriptures and doing this, but not understanding that God's trying to give us things so that we can walk in that, so that people will see that, so that you can be loving to those around you, because now you're a reflection of the Father.
Amen.
See, he doesn't want you to just memorize his words. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you things, and he wants you to understand what he's doing in it. It's not just, oh, God, you said with faith like a mustard seed, I can move mountains. Okay, well, let me show you how to move the mountain then, because you're right. I told you that. So now let me show you how to do it. And that's the thing, is that he will always give us exactly what we need, but we got to stand on it. It's in moments where we are completely unsure of what's happening next. That is exactly the definition of what faith is in our life. Not being able to see what the next step is, but hoping and knowing that it is fine, because God told us it is, because he gave us a promise, because he told us that he would hold us in those moments, because he told us that he's given us every single thing that we need, that he's given us life, that if we just go to him and commune with him, he will give us all the secrets that we need. He'll just begin to reveal things in your life, unlock the secrets, show you more and more of who he is, to build you up, strengthen you, and send you forward. He's not looking for you to look back. He's not wanting you to go back to where you were. He's wanting you to go forward into what he has for you. So often we get stuck in those moments because we're too busy hanging on to what was behind us, because we think it was so great, when really what's in front of us is so much better. But it takes faith, and faith by works, not just saying, God, you told me that all things are possible, but standing on them in the moments where you feel like all things may not be possible. But let me tell you, they still are. That's the thing. It seems impossible until it's done. But it's why you got to hang on to those things in those moments. When God's working you, when he's showing you things, when he's giving you things, when he's uplifting you, all of those things are important in those moments. It's your works. It's the walk. It's that ability to say, I don't care what I see. I know what I believe. I know what you've told me. I know what you've given me. And regardless of the circumstances around me, I'm going to continue to stand. I'm going to share a little of what's been going on in our life, because I feel like it is very relative to this. Most of you guys know that we own a business. I think some know that we had business partners. And we just recently, obtained the business so that it's ours. Which, thank you, Lord, because I feel like he did do that for us. But can I tell you that what I felt like was like, all right, God, you gave us this business. Now we're good to go. We can start doing all these things. It was like God went, that's funny. Because I will tell you that where I thought, God, we just made it over this huge hump and we're like in a good place now and it's going to be awesome. It's like every single thing that could have happened. felt like we even got even the slightest bit of footing, it's like the next thing would happen. And you know that reference, like wave after wave? It felt that way. It really did. It felt like we could go from, whew, like, okay, we got this, we're good, to like the next moment being like, God, what is going on? And it has been one of the most difficult things that I feel like I have had to deal with when it comes to knowing like, okay, like I'm just going to leave this. You know what I mean? Like, and not leave it in the sense of like, I'm just doing nothing. But I know for a fact that God has given me, from the moment that he placed me in this business, I know he's given me things. And every single time that I came to a point where I was unsure or I don't know, he gave me more things. And he showed me exactly what it was that he wanted me to do. And I know that even, I can even recall conversations with even my brother, who would just be like, hey, are you sure? Do you really want to, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure you want to? And I just told him like, I don't know how to explain it. I know it doesn't make sense, but yes, this is what I think we're supposed to do. And I know that God gave me things with this business a lot of the time, all of the time. So when we started to come to this point, can I tell you, you definitely, and I'm going to give you guys very personal, I'm getting personal with you guys because I want you guys to understand that when we got to a point in our business where I felt like there's nowhere to turn, there is nothing that we can do, and we're just, this is it. Oscar and I sat down and we had a very serious conversation about, okay, like, do we just need to file for bankruptcy and be done with this? Because we don't see a way or how this is going to work out. And to be honest, both of us, we were exhausted. So exhausted that we were to this point where we were like, you know, I think that just sounds like the best thing. And it almost, you know, filing for bankruptcy, it's not a good thing. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, is we were so much to this point that it almost felt like a relief to think about it. Like, oh, you know, let's just do it because it's going to make life easier. It's going to be better. And we really had this thought in our mind that, like, you know, maybe this is what we're supposed to do. And God got a hold of me. Oh, it was like, why are you even thinking that? Because, and the truth is that when I looked back at everything he had given me, the truth was, is that I even told myself that. Why are you even thinking that? Because God gave you all these promises. He told me all of these things. He showed me exactly what to do. And what was scary is that the one thing he had brought us to was just wait. And we were like, wait, okay, we've been waiting for a really long time. So now what are we supposed to do? Because that's the thing, is physically it looked like everything's getting worse while you're telling me to wait. It's not going on hold. People aren't being like, oh, we'll just leave you alone. No, it felt like it was getting worse. But every single time I went to God, I knew it was the same exact thing. Just wait. Just wait for what I'm telling you. Just wait. And it wasn't a specific direction. It wasn't anything, which made it hard. But the truth is that I would choose waiting over choosing my own way any day. Because as I've looked back I've seen how God is showing me things within my business that will not make sense to anybody who has gone to business school or who thinks that they know the best way to run a business, because I'm going to tell you that it's not my business. It's God's business, and he's running it the way that he wants to run it, and he's going to do in it what he wants to do in it. And he's teaching me that I got to let go. Because so often we want to be right there and in it all, making the decisions. And I'm going to tell you, in a business, you feel like, I got to make this decision and I got to make it now. You know how many different business things I read asking God, oh God, but it says that if you're in this point in your business, you got to make a move now and you got to do it fast. And God's telling me, wait. It was the opposite of what the world was saying to do. But the truth is that if I was to go the direction that I felt was right, or I felt like maybe we should do this, or maybe we should, you know, go this direction, I know. Because I'm starting to see little things happening in our business that I just know God is working things in a way that I would have never thought of doing them. I would have never thought, in all the times working in a corporate company at the mine, working in retail, working all these, I would have never thought this is the way we're going to do things. But that's the point. God gave it to me. It's not about how I want to do things or what I want to do with it. It's about what he wants to do with it, because he's the one who's going to make it prosper. He's the one who's going to show us the right directions to move every single time. I read this book by the owner of Hobby Lobby, and it's funny because God talked to me about some of these things. And then I read that book. I was like, whoa, because he owns so many businesses at this point, started in his garage. And anybody that looks at his business model does not understand it. Your business should be failing the way you run it is exactly what people have told him. And I'm going to tell you that I have already had people tell me that our business is not going to work the way that we're doing it. But I'm going to tell you, I don't care what they say, because I know it's what God said. And I know that if I follow what he told me and I do exactly what he said, that he's not going to leave me in a bad position. This is what we're meant to do. As I've gone through it, I have realized so much that it doesn't matter how many books I read on business, how many things I read about how we should be doing social media, how we should be doing all this other stuff. If it doesn't have God and what he's saying, it doesn't matter. It doesn't work. It's the same things with the church. I used to worry so much about, well, I don't see everybody worshiping. Well, I don't see all the people I'd like to see. Why aren't we growing faster? Why isn't there this? Why isn't that happening? And I have come to learn that that doesn't matter, because it's the building of the kingdom that matters. What matters is that we're giving what God is saying to give, doing what God is saying to do, and trusting that the next step is exactly where we're supposed to be. It doesn't matter if the bank account looks the lowest low. God will provide, because that is who he is, and it's what we're meant to stand on. He gave us a building. We were in this place. There are still churches that are trying to get the funds together and doing all this thing to get a building built. And God gave us a building. But it was standing on the word that he gave us. Not moving based on feelings, emotions. Oh, I don't think this is going to work. I don't think, not doing any of that, but turning around in those moments where we weren't sure what to do and saying, God, what do you want us to do? Where should we go? What direction should we take? Guys, it is faith by works. We become so double-minded when we have one foot going, yeah, God, we can do this. And the other foot going, oh gosh, this is not how it works. We got to do something else. Get out of there. Get your foot out of the world altogether and just listen to what God's telling you. Believe that what he's showing you is exactly what he desires for you. That what he's telling you is exactly where you need to be. And don't let your mind take you anywhere else. Know that when he speaks and when he's telling you, and trust me, you will know because he will give you scripture upon scripture upon scripture. He will give you things that will just confirm and confirm and confirm, and you will know that it's him. And then it's time to be obedient. Okay, this is what you said. Regardless of what I see, I'm going to stand on it. Because that is what faith is. This right here is how the impossible becomes possible. It's how all of the things that everybody may tell you in your life, it's not going to happen, it can't happen, it won't happen, you'll just begin to see like a fountain springing forth all of the things that he's given you, all of the promises, all of the things that he's wanting you to have just come forward in your life. Let's go to Proverbs 3. And we're going to read 1 through 10. So it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You will find favor. This is exactly right here. It talks about all the things he's trying to set you up for. Do these things and you will find favor. He wants you to have all the things that you're dreaming, that you're all those things he's placing within your heart. He wants you to have them, but he's telling you, do these things and you'll find the favor. Okay, it says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He's telling us right here, it's not always going to make sense. You may not always understand. You may not know why he tells you to do what he's telling you. But if you do what he's saying, just like it says in here, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You're going to have an overflow in your life. It's not just you're just going to have enough, or you're just going to be okay. His word says that you're going to have an overflow, that your barns will be, what does it say right here? that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Overflowing. And it is, like I said, it's not always going to be that you understand what he's saying, but it's understanding that if you just are obedient in it and you are faithful for what he's saying, he will be faithful in what he's told you. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 3, verse 14. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." He wants to give you exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. And in his word, he's giving us all of the things that we need to get there. He will reveal things to you. It is a process. He will take things out. He will put things in because he's refining you. He's giving you all the things you need for where he's taking you. It's the preparation that begins to happen for what he's bringing towards you. You know, there's times where you can feel like, but God, I need it now. But, you know, my dad had talked to me about something a while back, and it really kind of like, I understood what he was saying, but then there was a part of me that was like, well, I kind of don't understand. I do, but I don't. And so I had really been reading about it, but he was talking about the blessing turning into a curse. And I was like, oh, I get it, but I don't understand. Like, why would God do that? Why would he give us a blessing for it to be a curse? But then as I started to like look at it myself and kind of go through things, I began to realize these things of what I'm talking to you guys about is there are things in our life, a lot of times foundations that need to be built before he pushes us into that next area in our life. Because he can bless us with something and us not be working it the way we're supposed to be working it. So now it's become a curse. Because even though he did bless us with it, we're not doing what we need to do to maintain the blessing. We're missing a fundamental piece. And that's the thing, is when you're asking for something in your life, God, I really need this. I need it now. God, why isn't it happening? What's going on? Go to him and ask him specifically, show me what I need. Because a lot of times when things haven't come to you yet, it's because he's still working it. I'm still giving you things that you need. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to show you exactly what you need for what I'm taking you to. For what you're asking for. But what we don't realize sometimes is that we think we need it now, when really, when he's like, okay, here you go, we're like, what do I do? We gotta trust that he knows what he's doing in our life. It's why the Bible tells us, count it all joy. Hallelujah. You know, I have talked to people very recently. I feel like God's really put some people in my life that I know he's having me talk to them a lot about just Stop thinking every negative thing possible. Stop allowing those things to take hold of your life. Because that's the thing, is I'm not going to sit here and I'm going to tell you that people don't have issues with depression, or they don't have issues with anxiety, or they don't have, but I will tell you that God does not desire for you to have those issues. The Bible actually talks about it being a spirit that you got to get rid of. Don't let your mind be telling you I'm down all the time. Don't let it be telling you, oh, I don't know what to do. You take hold. Say, God, I know that you know what you're doing in my life. I know that you know what's happening in this moment. So I'm going to just stay calm and I'm going to just ride this wave with you. I'm going to let you do what you're doing in my life. I'm going to let you speak what you're wanting to speak in my life. We got to start realizing we got to let go of all the control. Because we talk about, the churches talk about, we want revival. We want to see the kingdom on earth. We want to see all of these things. Well, it happens by you walking the way that he created you to walk on this earth. Knowing that you have power, knowing that you have all the things that are in this book, that they're not just words on a page, but they're things that are meant for you to take and run with them. That they're meant for you to claim your healing. They're meant for you to claim bondages broken. That they're meant for you to claim every single thing that he promises to you. He will give it to you. You gotta go after him. You gotta wait. You gotta be willing to just let him give you guidance in the middle of the storms. Because if you begin to look at things in the way that God's told us, if you begin to count it all joy exactly the way he says, you'll begin to realize those storms aren't really storms at all. They are moments for you to grow. They're moments for you to learn. They're moments for God to build you up so that he can push you forward. They're moments that are vital and important in your life. And if you look to him, he will give you peace. He will give you joy. He will give you long suffering. All of the things that you need to make it through, and make it through with life more abundantly, not feeling like you're at your lowest. What makes us at our lowest is our point of view. It's us choosing to be, oh, everything's just so bad. When really we should be saying, God, okay, I don't know what's going on, but I'm looking to you. I'm going after you. Because I want what you have for me. I want the promises that you've given me. I want to read two scriptures before, because I know it's getting late. So let's go to Philippians. Everybody knows the scripture. It's Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the part that's important is Christ who strengthens me. Because you can do all things, but it's through him. He will give you everything that you need, but you gotta go to him. You gotta ask him, what do you want me to do in this? And he will show you how to make the impossible possible in your life. He will show you that it is possible, that he can do all of it for you if you just allow him to. Let's go to Ephesians 6, and we're going to read verse 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who, oh wait, that's, hold on. Oh, sorry. Okay, I see. Okay. So, I was in the wrong spot. Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let him strengthen you. In every single thing that you're going in your life, allow him to strengthen you. Stay in the word. Go after him. Because he will give you exactly what you need in those moments if you search for him in it. If you say, God, I'm looking for you in this moment. Show me what you got. Because he will. He will always give you what you need. And that is why we have these scriptures that we can stand upon that tell us that we can stand on him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not our might. It's his might. What he's doing. Because these things are obtained by what he's giving us. It's by what he is doing in our life. It's not by anything we can do on our own. And then let's go to Romans 8:26. And this is it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So I really wanted to end with this group of scriptures because I, for the last few weeks, and I'm not really sure who it's for, but I know that God is wanting us to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit in our life. And he will reveal things to you and he will give you things that you need. But this intercession that happens when you know not what to pray, these are important moments for us. Because there are times where you're going to need God to show you some things and pick you up. You will. And in those moments, there are some times where you just don't know. God, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what I'm asking for. I don't know what to say. Because maybe you just feel so lost, so stuck, whatever it might be. And this intercession is so important. Because just like the word says, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Because we can't see the future. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what's happening, right? So we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you speak in tongues, when you use the gift that God's given you, he is interceding on your behalf. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're repeating the same thing over and over. It fits what God's given you in your prayer language. It's what you have. And you don't realize the power that is within it. Because in these moments, you can be praying and praying and not even realizing that what you're praying for is way past anything that you could think to ask for yourself. That what you're praying for could be things in the future, they can be things that God is preparing for you in ways, but you just don't know. But it's important in your life. That intercession that happens in your life, it is important. The scripture that what's the scripture? The violent take it by force. I'm drawing a blank. It's the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. When you are going through something in your life and you're telling God, God, show me something, give me something, I need it. And you're going after it full force, you are taking it by force. It's why the Holy Spirit is important. It's why, let me tell you something. If you are, I know the scripture that says that, you know, all of these things will be added. But I know that God is trying to tell somebody, if you're desiring to speak in tongues because you want your prayer language, take it by force. Go after God for it. Ask him, give it to me because I want it, because I need it, because I can tell you that if you're wanting it, you're already, God's already placed it in your life. He's already placed these gifts in your life. When you were being formed, he placed them within your life. And when you start thinking about them is when you're starting to take them by force. I want it in my life. I need it in my life. Give it to me, God. Because he is making intercession for you. He's starting to show you things that he's desiring for you to have in your life because it's pertinent to growth. It really is. Because he wants you to be independently dependent on him. He wants you to be hearing what he's trying to give you. He wants you to understand that he is all you need all of the time. That regardless of what you're doing, where you're going, or what you're seeing, all you got to do is turn to him. And if you begin to learn to lean on him and go after him for all of these things, you will begin to see what seems impossible become possible in your life in every single angle. Not just a little here, not just a little there, but you begin to see the power of God begin to move in your life in a way that you never thought. Because just like his word said, it's abundantly above all that you could ask or think. It exceeds what we think. It exceeds what we think is the greatest for us. God's got even greater. What we think is amazing in our life, God's got more amazing. What we think is just, well, it's going good. He's saying, I want it to go great. Because he's got things for you. And as you begin to take hold of these things in your life and you begin to hang on to them and you go after him for them, you begin to start. This is where the church begins to see kingdom on earth. Because now when you look at the Bible and you see healings and you see all of these things, you know it's possible. You know that it's meant for you today, not just then, not just back when, but today. And as you begin to stand on him for these things and go after him and they begin to happen in your life, I guarantee you, your light is going to shine so bright because there's going to be no way that people won't see it. Because now you're allowing God to shine so bright in your life that it's not your actions, it's not anything you're doing, it's not anything that you're even necessarily saying, it's the way you're living. You are just so beautiful and the way that you're doing things are just so unlike what other people do. It will just draw like a bug to a light. It's just going to draw them in. And then God, in those moments too, will give you exactly what to say and exactly what to do. And now because you've gotten so used to depending on him for every single thing, you will do it without even have to think about it. He will just speak and you will speak for him. And that is how we touch lives. That is where the church begins to rise up. It's where we begin to see the kingdom on earth. Is because now we are taking what he's giving us and we are running with it. God, it doesn't matter what comes in my way. It doesn't matter what I see. I am going towards you and what you've given me. Abe, do you? Woo.
So, yeah. Some applause. Good word. You know, after hearing all that, this scripture came to my mind and, you know, I think it kind of sums up nicely everything Rebecca was talking about waiting, about not focusing on the negative, and actually just putting into practice what God's asking us to do. This is also in Philippians, and it's chapter 4, and it's verses 8 through 9. And it's, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's what we should focus on, right? Those are the things we should think about. It says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay? Think about these things. Know these things. Put them into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So if you would, let's stand with me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask that you make the voice of the Holy Spirit, his voice, so strong in our minds that all we can do is focus on you, God. We focus on what's good, what's lovely, what's excellent and praiseworthy. And Lord, that everything we read in your word, that we put those things into practice. Give us the peace that we need to wait while we're going through things. And that in all circumstances, help us to remember to praise you, Lord, to have joy in those moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You're dismissed. Have a happy 4th.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.